Thing I cannot understand. Thing I never will understand. How can they fight so hard, them Johnnies, and all for slavery? Chamberlain raised his head. He had forgotten the cause. When the guns began firing, he had forgotten it completely. It seemed very strange now to think of morality, or that minister long ago, or the poor runaway black. He looked out across the dark field, could see nothing but the yellow lights and outlines of the black bodies stark in the lightning. Tom said, "When you ask them prisoners, they never talk about slavery. But Lawrence, how do you explain that? What else is the war about?" Chamberlain shook his head. "If it weren't for the slaves, there'd never have been no war, now would there?" "No," Chamberlain said. "Well then, I don't care how much political fast talking you hear. That's what it's all about, and that's what them fellas died for. And I tell you, Lawrence, I don't understand it at all." "No," Chamberlain said. He was thinking of Kilrain. No divine spark. Animal meat. The killer angels. Out in the field nearby, they were laying out bodies, row after row, the feet all even and the toes pointing upward like rows of black leaves on the border of a garden. He saw again the bitter face of Kilrain, but Chamberlain did not hate the gentlemen, could not think of them as gentlemen. He felt instead an extraordinary admiration. It was as if they were his own men who had come up the hill, and he had been with them as they came, and he had made it across the stone wall to victory, but they had died. He felt a violent pity. He said slowly, in memory of Kilrain, "Well, they're all equal now. In the sight of God, anyways." "Yes," Chamberlain said, "in the sight of God." Tom stood up. "Better get moving, Lawrence. There's a big rain coming." Chamberlain rose, but he was not yet ready to go. Tom said, "Do you think they'll attack again?" Chamberlain nodded. They were not yet done. He felt an appalling thrill. They would fight again. And when they came, he would be behind another stone wall waiting for them. And he would stay there until he died or until it ended, and he was looking forward to it with an incredible eagerness, as you wait for the great music to begin again after the silence. He shook his head, amazed at himself. He thought, "I have to come back to this place when the war is over. Maybe then I'll understand it." The rain was much heavier now. He put on the stolen cavalry hat and blinked upward into the black sky. He thought, "It was my privilege to be here today." He thanked God for the honor. Then he went back to his men. The light rain went on falling on the hills above Gettysburg, but it was only the overture to the great storm to come. Out of the black night it came at last, cold and wild and flooded with lightning. The true rain came in a monster wind, and the storm broke in blackness over the hills and the bloody valley. The sky opened along the ridge, and the vast water thundered down, drowning the fires, flooding the red creeks, washing the rocks and the grass and the white bones of the dead, cleansing the earth, and soaking it thick and rich with water, and wet again with clean, cold rainwater, driving the blood deep into the earth, to grow again with the roots toward heaven. It rained all that night. The next day was Saturday, the 4th of July. Thus ended the great American Civil War, which must upon the whole be considered the noblest and least avoidable of all the great mass conflicts, of which till then there was record. Winston Churchill, A History of the English-Speaking People,